to a special mini-series dealing with the topic of Lewis and women. I'm William O'Flaherty from EssentialCSLewis.com, and you're listening to my podcast called All About Jack. Be sure to visit EssentialCSLewis.com to find direct links to the sites mentioned when you go to the show notes for this program. Again, that's EssentialCSLewis.com, a feature partner site on the Middle Earth Network. By the way, each show in this mini-series will be in the 15 to 20-minute range. As I've just said, this is a series addressing the issue of C.S. Lewis and his views on women. Being a male, you may ask how I could hope to impartially deal with the subject. Well, first of all, I will be interviewing Dr. Crystal Hurd, who not long ago finished a series of posts on her website about the subject. And second, I've asked another lady to join me for co-hosting duties. Let me first welcome my co-host, Gina D'Alfonso. Thanks for joining me in this mini-series, Gina.
Thanks for having me. I'm honored.
For those who have not heard of Gina's name before, allow me to give you a little background. She is the editor of Breakpoint.org and Dickens Blog. Also, she writes for Breakpoint Radio. Additionally, she has written for The Atlantic, National Review, The Weekly Standard, Christianity Today, First Things, among other publications. Let's now welcome Dr. Crystal Hurd to the program. Thank you for agreeing to do this four-part podcast series, Crystal.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Even though you've been on All About Jack before, Crystal, take a minute to share a little bit about yourself.
Well, thanks, William. I'm a high school educator from Virginia. I teach English and creative writing. I've been reading C.S. Lewis for about 12 years now and recently did my dissertation on Lewis and leadership. This is where I sort of started sniffing around about Lewis and women as well during my research. I also do some leadership mentoring with Develop Africa, which is a nonprofit organization, and I actually write quite a bit about Lewis leadership and other stuff on my website, which is www.crystalhurd.com.
This first program today is a general introduction to all four parts. In other words, we will be addressing all the main topics related to Lewis and women. However, the answers given to the questions will be fairly brief, so you want to listen to each show in the series to gain a better picture. And of course, you definitely want to consider reading Crystal's blog. As already noted, direct links are in the show notes at EssentialCSLewis.com. Let's kick things off by asking the following question. Crystal, how did you come to write your 12-part series on Lewis and women for your website?
It's kind of an interesting genesis. When I defended my dissertation in 2012, I was actually quoting from Lewis's membership essay, which mentions Lewis's belief in a natural hierarchy, which comes from Milton's idea of hierarchical conception. I mentioned that he discusses the hierarchy of parent over child and husband over wife. It was sort of an aside because I was discussing power and structures of leadership and government. And one of the observers in the room became a little upset about that and began to sort of, you know, question me about Lewis's relationship with women. And he thought it was misogynistic for him to say something like that. So after I finished my defense, I sort of left and I had this seed of an idea, and I thought, I think a lot of people actually think that, a lot of the things I've read and some of them, most things about Lewis have been very, very kind, but I've seen some really negative things about Lewis and women. So let's explore that and let's see where it goes. So that's where I sort of began, was sort of a quest to discover for myself his own odyssey and evolving relationships with women.
Crystal, what qualifications do you have to study that particular issue, and how much research did you do?
Well, being a female scholar is interesting because I'm usually outnumbered by males when I go somewhere to discuss Lewis, but it's really interesting. There are a lot of great female scholars out there, Dinah Glier, Hollywood Way, there's a lot of great people out there that study it. But I actually spent about 9 months reading Lewis and researching for my dissertation on Lewis and leadership. So while I was reading through the letters and reading through the essays and a lot of his major works, I began making notes in, you know, like aside from my regular notes about some of his exchanges and portrayals of women. So I was sort of doing side research off of the mainline research of my dissertation. So I sort of accumulated all that stuff and decided to move forward and sort of chase that idea and see where we ended up.
Now, what reputation, you mentioned some of this, but what reputation did Lewis have, and what is it based on, or, you know, people's misconceptions?
A lot of folks have come out against Lewis, Philip Pullman and J.K. Rowling among them, actually, and they believe that he was sexist, and all of this hinges upon the fact that Susan was excluded from traveling to Aslan's country in the last battle because she was more interested in nylons and lipstick and, you know, just being a young teenage girl more than entering Aslan's country. A lot of folks believe that this is because he just disliked women and he thought they were sort of frivolous. But really what we, when we look in there, there are so many wonderful female characters that he wrote. A lot of people like to fixate on Susan. But I think he's actually telling us a lot about the heaviness of our decisions and how the importance of what we spend our time, you know, studying and thinking about religiously. So I think Susan actually is usually where a lot of that argument comes from.
How do we really know about the way that Lewis interacted with women?
That's a great question. A lot of people like to start with discussing the Inklings, and there's a lot of great articles on the Inklings that discuss how it was more male-dominated gathering when it was discussing. But however, Lewis corresponded, if you read his letters, corresponded with a large number of females. And even in the tone of these letters, he's always very kind, very receptive, and never condescending towards these women. And as you read, especially in the third volume, there's many, many letters. And he's always asking follow-up questions from previous letters. How is your husband? How's your family doing? So he has a genuine interest and concern for these women. They're not just fans. You know, he's actually building relationships in their correspondences. So I think we see through these that he was a very caring individual, and it didn't matter your gender.
Well, now, Crystal, something without getting, you know, too Freudian, but, you know, people speak about how our relationship with our mother impacts us. Lewis's mother was named Flora, or that was short for Florence. But what was his relationship like with his mother, and what kind of impact did it have?
Well, Lewis adored his mother. Of course, she died in 1908, so he was still very young. She had cancer, abdominal cancer, and back in those times, the operation was actually done in the home. So she endured surgery basically on the table in the bottom of Little Lee. And Lewis was present in the house, you know, and could hear the nurses bustling back and forth and the talk and the murmuring of the doctors. And you can imagine what type of impact that had on a young boy. But his mother was doted on him. When she wasn't sick, she did have bouts of sickness, and the nurses, sort of Lizzie Endicott and some of the other ladies that helped in the house, had to take care of him. But she actually taught him Latin, French, and math. She was a math major, had a math degree. And in Surprised by Joy, he describes her death as the sinking of Atlantis, the end of his innocence. So that obviously had an incredible impact, and I think we even see echoes of that in The Magician's Nephew.
A well-known figure in Lewis's life later on, and a rather confusing and mysterious figure, was a lady called Mrs. Moore. Briefly, can you describe who was she, and what do we know and not know about their relationship?
This is always an interesting point, Gina. Mrs. Moore is actually the mother of a soldier that Lewis roomed with. His name was Paddy Moore. He was an Irish, just like Lewis was Irish descent. And they actually trained together at Oxford in the cadet battalion. They were roommates. They made an oral pact that if one of them died, the other would take care of his family. And Maureen, which is Patty's younger sister, actually overheard this pact. And basically, both of them went to war. Patty was killed in battle. But Lewis had already, I believe, been sort of fostering this relationship with Mrs. Moore. There's a lot of controversy and a lot of speculation, not much evidence. And depending on who you read, they may have had some sort of adulterous relationship in his younger days, because he did hang out with Patty and his mother on furlough. But we do know that that relationship fundamentally changed when he accepted Christ. So we don't know, honestly. From time to time, people have speculated that they were lovers at one point when Lewis was very young. But also, I believe in the end, Mrs. Moore missed her son and Lewis missed his mother. So they sort of, you know, filled a void for each other.
Well, as we're going along here, the questions that we all kind of prepared, I see that we're having to skip some already, and I want to encourage the listener to definitely go by Crystal's website. We'll have a direct link at EssentialCSLewis.com where you can get this podcast, or it's CrystalHurd.com to read more about what she has already written, and be sure to listen to the other shows as they are released, or if you're listening to this later, they maybe are already available. One of the people that we're skipping here is about Sister Penelope, which was an influence, someone that became a friend. There's someone that Lewis never met, that was Mary Willis Shelburne. A book from 1967 was released called Letters to American Lady. At the time, we didn't know that that was the letters to her. Crystal, why do you think this book was published, and how does it provide any insight on Lewis's view of women?
It's an incredibly interesting slim volume. Of course, if you have the larger letters edited by Walter Hooper, you have those included in those as well. But it really details a long, lively discussion between two friends about different aspects of spiritual life and human life. I mean, just dealing with, you know, the rare struggles that we deal with in everyday life. Shelburne was actually a widow, and she was a female poet. Later, Lewis assisted her financially as well.
There was a famous and widely misunderstood debate at the Socratic Club between Lewis and a lady called Elizabeth Anscombe. Can you give us an overview of that?
Yes, Elizabeth Anscombe was a brilliant philosophy student who attended Oxford, and she attended the Oxford Socratic meeting and debated the claim that naturalism is self-refuting, which is chapter 3 of Lewis's Miracles. She did an excellent job, and again, he revised that chapter after her paper refuting his claim. So, and then later on, he would suggest her for the presidency over the Socratic Club because she did such an excellent job with her paper. So.
And then obviously from what you were just saying, Crystal, that if Lewis didn't like women, or he was upset because of the way the debate went or was perceived, he wouldn't have recommended her to replace him at the Socratic Club. So that shows, you know, a positive aspect in terms of Lewis. But now turning briefly here as we're wrapping up here, the fictional side, people often, as you know, to bring Susan up as an example of Lewis's poor view of women, but there's another female character that people seem to forget that is an example of a strong female character. Tell us more.
I think most people's favorite character in Narnia is Lucy. It's her continued unrelenting hope, her devotion to Aslan, her indomitable belief in Narnia and that it exists. I mean, she is the one who takes us into Narnia for the first time, and it's her faith that helps her return. And I mean, she's the youngest, but I think Lewis and Tolkien, a lot of his contemporaries, like to write about the fact that sometimes a small statured character can be the bravest, most courageous, and most faithful character. So Lucy, I think, is an incredibly strong female character. And she, if you recall, has the vial that helps people return to life. I mean, that's an incredibly, it's amazing power for her to have among her. You know, that was her gift from Father Christmas. So I believe she's a very strong and a very positive example of female leadership.
There are those who would say things like, doesn't the White Witch prove that Lewis hated women or treated women unfairly? What would you say to that?
Oh, I would strongly disagree. After my sort of exploration of many of his texts, I believe that is just a gross misrepresentation of Lewis's female portrayals. It really just shows that the person hasn't read the full corpus of Lewis's work. When you think about Till We Have Faces and the Space Trilogy, there are so many complex female characters there, and just having one quote-unquote bad female character does not mean that all of his were bad reflections of females. I think there's a generalization that if you write one bad female, you hate females. That's, I think a logical fallacy. and we have many great females in Narnia. So she and honestly, there are some bad male leaders. We've got King Miraz, who does like this Hamlet move and basically kills his brother to take the throne. I mean, there's a lot of bad male leadership also in there. And then, of course, you've got Edmund and Prince Caspian and then Edmund and Peter have issues with, you know, control over who has more power. You know, they sort of argue about that. So you see that quite a bit, and the males struggle with power as, you know, as well. So I think he actually does a great job with balance in the Narnian Chronicles.
Well, as we mentioned at the beginning and just a few minutes ago, we are not going to really be able to get into a lot of details, and we're even having to kind of skip over some things, and we encourage people to definitely listen to all in this series and check out Crystal's blog. So this is the end for our first show. Let me first thank Dr. Crystal Hurd for being willing to do this series.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is excellent. Thank you.
And then thank you, Gina, for helping me co-hosting.
Oh, thank you. It's been great fun.
And don't forget, again, to stop by CentralCSLewis.com for links in the show notes to Crystal's website and for her blog series. Also, there are a variety of other interviews I've done for the All About Jack feature that you want to consider listening to. They include Douglas Gresham, Lewis's stepson. I also spoke with, in 2013, with the three major authors of the biographies on Lewis. They were Dr. Alistair McGrath, Colin Duryea, and Dr. Devin Brown. Additionally, I have other features on Lewis, including a daily fact, quote, quiz, along with a weekly spotlight on another resource you can find online. Well, Crystal, go ahead and tell us about what we're going to do in part two.
In part two, we're going to discuss some of the women in Lewis's life. This includes Flora Lewis's mother, Mrs. Moore, Sister Penelope, Elizabeth Anscombe, and the Socratic Club. So we have a lot of great stuff coming up in the next show.
All right, and then in part three, we're going to look at the fictional women in Lewis's life, that is, the ones that he wrote. Basically, we're going to focus in on Narnia, and if we have time to explore the other fictional characters in Lewis's writing. Our fourth and final show is going to be specifically about Ruth Pitter, Dorothy Sayers, and his wife, Joy, and then a final wrap-up. So be sure, everyone, to listen to those programs.